بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we know the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam where he advised us always to have husnul zan, the best expectation, the best belief about our brothers and sisters, about each other. And of course, Sar-e-Fihrist, the head of the list of those who are our brothers and sisters, are our actual brothers and sisters by blood, our blood relatives. First of those would be our parents, and after the parents would be our siblings. Now, you know and I know that even though we know this advice of Rasulullah ﷺ, that we are supposed to have the best belief about them, best expectation from them and about them, this is not always the case. And we have any number of instances where brothers and sisters believe the worst about each other and believe that very quickly without any encouragement. It's almost the first thing that they believe, almost as if they were wanting to believe that. You know, this is something that they were looking forward to believing, that my brother or my sister is something negative. It's a great pity, but this is the truth. And the biggest problem with that kind of attitude is that it ends up with broken relationships, strained relationships. I know cases where brothers will not even talk to one another, won't look at one another. And what's worse is that the children of one of the brothers is disrespectful. The children are disrespectful to the other brother. Now, there's nothing that can be more disgraceful and more dishonorable and more horrible than this kind of behavior between Muslims. But we see that this happens, and we see it happens far too often. Now, what is the solution to that? Let me give you, again, tell you a little story. Now, this story is of a goldsmith who, that was their family business. So, one of the, that goldsmith, he died, he passed away. So, after some time, after a few days, a couple of weeks, his widow, his wife, she, they were in dire straits. They needed money for survival. So she took out from her safe a sapphire necklace, and she gave it to her son and said, "Take this to your uncle's shop." The uncle also was a goldsmith. He said, "Take this to your uncle's shop and ask him to buy this. Ask him to give us some money for this." And she said, "This is a very valuable piece. So, inshallah, you know, we hope your uncle will give us a good price." So, the boy took the sapphire necklace to his uncle's place. His uncle examined the necklace closely. And then he said to the boy, "Tell your mother that right now the market is very low. So, don't sell this now. We'll sell this after some time. Meanwhile, here is some money." He gave him a gift, and he said, "From tomorrow, you come here and you start working in my shop. I'm giving you a job." So the boy was happy, mother was happy. From the next day, the boy came, and he was a very good boy. He was a very industrious and talented young man, and his uncle taught him, and his uncle took great care of him, and he coached him. And this boy very rapidly learned the business, his father's and his uncle's business. And he became especially well known for his very keen eye in assessing the value of stones, the value of jewels. Now, this became so marked that in about a year or so, a year or two, this boy became very famous, and people would bring jewelry from distant lands, distant parts of the country, to this jeweler to be assessed by this young man, because everyone knew that, "Oh, here's this guy who's highly talented, and he's never wrong. He gives the right value for the jewels." Now, when that happened, one day the uncle called his boy, his nephew, and he said, remember that necklace you brought for me, your mother wanted to sell it, the sapphire necklace? He said, yes. He said, go and bring it now. The market is good, so we'll sell it and you can give the money to your mother. So the boy went home and he asked the mother for the necklace. The mother gave him the necklace. The boy took one look at the necklace and he realized that necklace was a fake. It was a fake. It was not even real. So he just put it back in the safe. He just gave it back to the mother and he came to the shop. So the uncle said, where is the necklace? Did you bring it? The boy said, no, I did not bring the necklace because it is a fake. It has no value. His uncle said, think about this. He said, when I saw that necklace 2 years ago, I knew it was a fake. But if I had told you that this necklace is a fake, you and your mother would have believed that I am saying this now because your father is dead and that you have nobody to take care of you. And because your father is dead, even your uncle is turning his back on you. This is what you would have believed. But today, you have the knowledge. And you can see for yourself that it is a fake. So now you know that if I had told you that it was a fake, that I was not telling lies, that would have been the truth. The point I want to make for you and myself is that it is knowledge which sets you free. Free from prejudice, free from misconceptions, free from all kinds of wrong opinions. Without knowledge, we are enslaved. We are enslaved. And that's the reason why it's very important for us to acquire knowledge and acquire the right knowledge. Not get misguided, get sidetracked. Get the right knowledge, ensure that we learn to differentiate between right and wrong. And always, always remember, give people the benefit of the doubt, especially people who are close to us. Now, brothers and sisters, the reality is that in the end, it is only people who stand by us. When we go to our grave, we will not be carried there by a machine, we will be carried there by people. Today we are willing to antagonize our nearest and dearest ones over political views, over all kinds of views. We are willing to antagonize, we are willing to become egoistic and antagonize our nearest and dearest people and to believe the worst about them. This is a very, very serious thing and it's a very bad thing, evil thing, and something which we should really very strongly remember and advise ourselves and others not to fall into this trap. Don't antagonize people. Don't be in such a hurry to believe the worst about people. Believe the best about people. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes and show us the truth so that we are not deceived by the appearances of things. At the same time, there is no need to second guess everything. There is no need to suspect everything. It's important to be aware, but it's also important to be trusting and to be trustworthy. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to have hearts which are filled with forgiveness for others so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us hearts which are filled with goodness and with kindness and compassion so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be kind and compassionate to us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, be merciful to the people in this world, and the one who is above the heavens will be merciful to you. Forgive others if you want Allah to forgive you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed his ayat in Surah An-Nur, where he said, do you not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, forgive and pass over, ignore, leave them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do you not want Allah to forgive you? So there is such a strong admonition and such a strong recommendation that we must forgive each other and we must not believe the worst about each other. On the other hand, we should believe and try to believe the best about each other. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.